the Americhicks with Molly Boats and Kim Monson. The most important stories.
They are like this newfound off-hinged part of the left. Even Chuck Schumer's pushing back on.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
The buck is stopping with Trump. The different administrations prior to him have been kicking the can down the road on a number of issues.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
The heart of this is the U.S. Constitution a progressive document, or is it something that should be looked at as an original document?
It's the Americhicks, Molly and Kim.
Because face it, ideas matter.
Because ideas matter.
Well, hello and happy Monday, everybody. Ideas and elections matter.
Big time.
How are you today, Kim?
I'm good. How are you doing, Miss Molly?
Thanks. We're the Americhicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Thanksgiving break was awesome. It's time to get back to saving the country.
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of work to do.
Yes, there is. There is. Keeping our eyes on the process, not only nationally, but locally as well. We are going to have in the third segment with us Ray Martinez on talking about what's going on in Fort Collins, because they have just voted at the city council level to increase their energy rates. Excuse me. Once again, that's three so far this year, going up 5% additionally, and that really is going to hurt a lot of people. So he's the sole city councilman who voted against that third increase. So we're going to have him on to talk about why did he vote against it? What was the case being made for it? And what were the cases against it? And what are some solutions of where he thinks they could get some extra money if they need it in Fort Collins?
You know, Molly, my experience on city council, and as we watch this, it is very difficult for people to stand up and say no and actually represent the people. We see so many rubber stampers now on city councils and county commissions. And I think many times people are very well-meaning, and then there's people with specific agendas. But what happens is those with these specific agendas, and we're really seeing a lot of the city councils and county commissioners that come from kind of that Democrat, progressive, radical left. And people that really care about the individual, freedom for them to go after their hopes and dreams, seem to be busy with their families and with their jobs and building their businesses. But if we don't wake up, everybody needs to step up and do at least one thing, whether or not it's watching city council, watching school boards, because while we were sleeping, the radical progressive left has taken over these city councils and school boards and commissions. And we are now, we're at a tipping point, I really think.
I agree, you know, and agree or disagree, I'm kind of thinking a lot more about term limits these days at every single level, because I think that anyone who represents us as an elected official should have some private experience, some experience in the private life, and have to go back to it so that they can't get into place, they get a seat, and then all of a sudden they start doing favors for different corporations, different big business groups, different lobbyists, different industries, what have you. If you get in and you're only there for a few years, it seems to me like it might actually be able to help people stay on track and say, I am going to help the people, because in a few more years, I'm going to be the people again. Well, and I want to pass regulations that don't hurt me, that help me, and that help everybody like me.
And that's, I think that's the way it's really supposed to be. But the other kind of game changer is this whole administrative state that we have.
Yeah.
Actually, now we have bureaucrats, people, you know, your city government, that, again, it may be very well-meaning people, but yet they've come out of these universities where they've studied public administration, where the agenda is what drives them instead of actually really serving the citizens and making sure that they protect them. And so I was taking a look at the budget for Fort Collins last night, and they just passed a two-year budget. It's a $500,000. And it's not just from what I can see. We'll ask Councilman Ray Martinez during the third segment about this. But Molly, it looks like it's a 5% rate hike this year and a 5% rate hike next year.
Oh.
And you wonder what has happened to city council people that they're not standing up for the individual. They're into, I think, this whole climate change.
Right.
Thing. And so have you seen what's happened out in Paris because
yep.
of the energy costs?
Increase in gas is up like it's like $7.06, I think, a gallon.
They're rioting. They are rioting in Paris now.
They are. Producers, which is, and think about that. That's what the American Revolution was about. We were like, hey, we're not going to pay all these extra taxes on stamps and tea and all this extra stuff. And now that's happening in Paris. Will it happen in the U.S.? Steve, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to add on to what Kim just said with her experiences at the local level. Everything you just said in terms of, you know, these people who studied public administration or whatever else their degrees are in, look at the model at the very top. The way government, U.S. federal government spends and makes laws, it trickles down to the state level and then down to the local level as well. We're spending, you know, frugally? Nah.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
Well, and that's the plan, and that's a good point, is bureaucrats, Kim, like you're saying, how do you get around term limits? Well, we start teaching the thought process in colleges in K through 12. And, you know, we have the bureaucrat state that you've got the ABC alphabet soup right. of non-elected, non-accountable folks that you can't fire ever. So, oh, we'll make it seem like we've got these elections that actually make a difference.
Exactly.
But they don't, because it doesn't matter who's in or out. We're brainwashing people and our kids and everybody to come up and actually be a part of the administrative state. So then eventually nobody's working at all. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants more and more and more taxes. Because that's how they get paid, not by creating something of value that's going to fix somebody else's life that they're going to line up and give you money for, not a new cool smartphone or some cool new fast car or some way to get from here to there on a fast airplane, nothing like that. What happens when we have less people in the private market than we do in the public?
Well, and so what you're saying is we need to make sure we need to create a bench. The Democrat progressive left has created a bench. And you saw this last election cycle with all of these, radical socialist women that were elected to the House of National House of Representatives. And I'm just really concerned that there's people that really, you know, should step up to the plate. And it's almost like I look at my 4 years on city council as kind of like, and really don't want to take anything away from military career, but in a way it was, you know, a service. I mean, it took a lot of time.
Yeah. There are many ways to serve your country, Kim, and they are painful.
Yeah.
All of them have a different level of pain.
Right. And so we got paid about $750 a month. And it was really like a second full-time job. Yeah. And I would sit in meetings where the bureaucrats, I'm looking at the budgets, and so the bureaucrats are making, you know, six figures plus they're in para. And I'm like, wait a minute. And, you know, the elected officials have to get elected every 4 years. But the bureaucrats stay there and they continue to get raises and their, you know, this para, which is a retirement system. It's a defined benefit instead of defined contribution. And hardworking people trying to rub two nickels together to make their businesses work are really being hurt. And so look at this, a 5% increase in electricity rates in Fort Collins in 2019 and another 5% in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I think that you had noted that's on top of some other kind of goofy.
That's on top of a tier rate increase and a time of use increase.
Yeah.
As well.
And so what and time of use is when you need it, you're not supposed to use it.
Exactly. Right.
Who comes up with that cockamamie idea?
Like from 5 to 9, nobody's going to need it from then. Really? I understand that for businesses, that'll be good because they use their businesses during the daytime. But what about when they get home and they need to do their laundry and they're cooking for their kids and it's cold? It's wintertime in Colorado. I need to turn my heat on. If I don't have gas, I've got electric heat. That's going to cost money. And when I'm watching the video in Fort Collins on this, on the whole testimonies, all the people standing up, and there's this older woman and she's standing there and she's shaking and she's like, listen, I'm at my house without, you know, I'm wearing a coat and gloves and I've got my, you know, heat, my thermostat set to 60. I'm trying really hard.
That's like third world country stuff.
Third world country. It's California. But anyway, so.
But it's warmer in California.
Exactly. But so the point is, I think that, we've got to do something about the bureaucrat state. We've got to do something about that. We've also got to do something about, I like term limits. So I like Act Two solution to term limits. I also just think that we need to start educating our peers. And that's what the Americhicks do. And that's what we do here every day is we've got to start reminding people, what are the principles of freedom and liberty and prosperity? And why is it that people are risking their lives to come to America? We want to make sure that we're still a safe, good, opportunistic place to come. And that means that we need more people in the private market than we do in the public.
That is for sure. And it is really important. I'm convinced, you know, if we look at the election here in Colorado, and basically Colorado voted blue. The only real things that were pretty great was the fact that we did vote down two big tax increases. But it was interesting to me. I was reading some things this weekend. You know, you and I came out really hard against Amendment Y and Amendment Z, these redistricting amendments, because after reading them, and I realized that there are many people that were real proponents of Y and Z that never read it.
Because how could you read 23 and 24 pages?
Well, if you're going to be a proponent for something, that you really should.
Right.
But then I was reading that somebody purportedly on the conservative side is commenting that the passage of Y and Z was a real success for conservatives because it will prevent Democrats from gerrymandering the maps.
Absolutely not true.
But I saw a friend of mine this last weekend over the holidays who is very active, very conservative, cares about American principles, and had relied on people that she trusted to support Y and Z. And in fact, she and a group had done a voter's guide in support of that. And I said, did you realize that the AFL-CIO, the ACLU, Obama's group was for this? Did you realize that Kent Theory put in $1,035,000, that Pat Stryker put in $1,035,000, Bloomberg was in for $500,000? And she said, I did not. And so we kind of got rolled on that. And I'm going to continue to talk about this because, again, we had conservatives this weekend saying that it was a success that passed. And I think that it was a real travesty. So, Molly, to your point, I think that the real savior for Colorado is changing hearts and minds because strategically we're cooked.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about education for our kids. We need to talk about education for adults, and we're going to do that. And we're going to start a new segment in January, Why We Stand for the American Flag. And we would love to hear why you stand for the American flag. So send us information at AmeriChicks.com or at Facebook or at Twitter with the AmeriChicks, and that's where you can reach out to us there. Another opportunity, another cool thing we're going to start for educating adults. And really, it's not like a, you know, we're trying to educate people that are not educated, but really just to kind of, it's an ongoing reminder, the principles of liberty. We are going to start a book club with speakeasy ideas, and that is Dr. Thomas Kranewitter. You probably know him if you went through leadership program, the Rockies. We are going to start going through the Federalist Papers because that was the case that the founders made for the Constitution, which was the case they made for creating a government, but a very, very limited one. We want to make sure everybody remembers that because, Kim, not only are people conservatives, supposedly conservatives, coming out saying it was a win that Y and Z passed, which means that now instead of elected and accountable folks creating our district lines, now it's going to bureaucrats that cannot be fired, can be lobbied, can be paid off, is that we want to make sure that everybody understands the foundations of liberty.
You got it. So we've got a lot of work to do as we move into the Christmas season here and then the new year in 2019. But, you know, it is football season out there. A lot of football and hockey. And Hooters is your sports headquarters. They've got a lot of great specials, $10 for a draft and 10 boneless wings, $15 for a Big Daddy and sliders or bone-in wings, the traditional or the new smoked, which we really, really
Yummo.
Like. And I actually got on the scale, and I need to get some of those because those are half the calories. I did eat a lot this last weekend.
Okay, you're a woman, and you tell people to don't ask you your age, but you're talking about your weight on the radio. That's Kim Munson, by the way.
I'm not giving the number. Just say it's bigger than before Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Right.
So try Hooters Restaurant's pitcher nachos for only $20 if you have a bunch of people that you want to feed. So what are you waiting for, Molly? Get your game on and get into Hooters. More info, check out HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the AmeriChicks.
Yeah, we'll go to break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, AmeriChicks on KLZ.
All AmeriChicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you'd like to support the work of the AmeriChicks and grow your business, contact them at AmeriChicks.com.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick, accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financing options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure you are making the right financing choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the Americhicks. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And now, Kim is helping guys, too, with well-priced, made-to-measure shirts, pants, and jackets that fit a busy guy's lifestyle. Guys or gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Americhicks.com.
I'm in the fast lane.
Know what will. If that doesn't get your Monday going, then you better wake it up. This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. You know, Thanksgiving is past. Christmas is on the way. I like to sometimes just buy my friends a gift, but get myself something too. And if you want to do something really cool for yourself, why not go out there and buy a business? Be your own boss. What the heck? Get out of the corporate rat race. We've got a friend, Chris Cantwell. He's a business broker with Trans World Business Advisors. He buys and sells opportunity, as Kim likes to say. And, you know, he's got a list, a long list of different companies here in Colorado that are for sale in all kinds of different industries, many different revenue levels, and he can help you find one that you like, also get the financing, get it all set up. Also, if you're looking to sell, he can help you find a buyer. He's a really good matchmaker when it comes to that kind of opportunity. So check out ccsellscompanies.com. That is ccsellscompanies.com. Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors.
I just about started to sing that matchmaker song. From Fiddler on the Roof.
Don't do it, Kim. Don't do it. We've got, it's Monday, and we got to get through the rest. I'll let you do that on Friday.
Okay, sounds good.
You can do your Mr. Ed, too. Let's talk about what's going on at the border here. I think it's very, very interesting what's taking place. And finally, someone gets it. Mexico gets it. Tijuana, at least. Tijuana's finally getting it. I think that's cool. And I think that there are some Americans that should be listening to what the mayor of Tijuana is talking about. He's issued a statement requesting help from the UN because they are overrun. They've got almost 5,000 migrants there in Tijuana. Of course, they're stuck because, thank goodness, President Trump is following through on his promises to protect our border, and so they can't get across. They're trying. They're they're throwing rocks. They're doing things like this, trying to get across. But Tijuana, they're stuck there, and they've got them like in a soccer field, and they're trying to bring them food and medical care and blankets and things like this. But they're like, wow, this is terrible. And the mayor is calling out his own federal government saying, what's going on? Are you going to help us out here? I think the fact that Mexico is finally seeing what a strain on resources it is to have people just come across your border without maybe speaking the language, without having a skill, and literally just standing there waiting for somebody to do something to help them out. Maybe now they understand why it is that America wants to know who's coming across our border and say how many can come at a time.
Well, most definitely. This is really, we are, again, I think at a tipping point here. I think that somebody is truly organizing this. And to have all these people, I think, like you mentioned, they were in a stadium, and I think they're being coached on what to do, storm the border. And I think that they're really working hard to create an incident. And, good for President Trump for closing the border. And like you mentioned, Tijuana, the mayor of Tijuana is saying, this is kind of, why should we have to pay for all this?
Right.
Right.
And I guess the federal government of Mexico is spending money on this, but the majority of it is going to their own border patrol. They're sending patrols, thank goodness, to the U.S.-Mexico border to help us. I think that is a good thing. We've even got a local resident, it looks like Renee Vasquez, I was reading different articles, says the government should step up and provide visas in Mexico so they can start looking for work in Mexico because these people are stuck in between between the two countries. So somebody's going to do something. Well, Mexico is the first land that they got to, so Mexico should be the first land to step up. And one of the interesting things, I think, too, is I just watched, you know, they keep telling us that, oh, well, these are people that are fleeing violence or persecution in their countries, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but now they're at the border. Why are they throwing rocks?
Oh, good point.
Why are they throwing rocks at our
instead
border
of trying
patrol?
instead of trying to come into the country
peacefully
and
right?
legally, right?
Okay, if you're fleeing violence, why are you acting violently?
Uh-huh. Good question.
Okay, so that's a question. The other thing I want to just
it's the hypocrisy
out,
of the left.
Exactly, it is. Another thing I just want to point out, you know, in America, we do help people. We've got a lot of homeless people in America, and charity starts at home. We're bringing more and more on. How is that going to help us? I wanted to just give a shout out to HUD and what HUD is doing right now. I just saw Wednesday, November 21st, there's a big headline on the HUD website saying that they're awarding $30 million to help children in foster care. And then showing what they do to assist homeless people in America. HUD serves over 1 million people through emergency, transitional, permanent housing programs every year. They said the number of people homeless could be twice as high. And there are four categories that we are helping people that are homeless. We've got literally homeless, imminent risk of homelessness, homeless under the federal statutes, and fleeing, attempting to flee domestic violence. We already have a bunch of people that need our resources here in America. Why would we want to take that opportunity away from them? I mean, we want to help others. Absolutely, we do. We've got to make our home safe first, or else we can't help anybody else.
You know, that's such an important point, Molly. You need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, your home, your family, and make sure that it's all healthy and in good order before you can even think about helping someone else. And if you overrun the system, nobody will be helped.
No one.
But what will happen is there will be elites that will be in power. They don't give a flying rip about. Obviously, you know, they talk about homelessness and affordable housing all the time because they want to have all these big government programs. But to your point right here, they really don't give a flying rip about these people.
No. No.
You know, it's all about power.
Yeah. So I just think it's interesting. Oh, also, you know, how we were just worried about all the fires, how devastating the fires have been in California. And I just saw this. Apparently on Saturday, the caravan group that's at the border right there in Arizona, 31-year-old Honduran man apparently split off from the caravan, threw rocks at agents and a helicopter, and he set a tree on fire. Okay. We need more people setting fires in our country? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. So anyway, I just think it's interesting. Washington Post quoted future Interior Minister Olga Sanchez in Mexico saying that they've agreed to allow migrants to stay in Mexico as a short-term solution while we consider applications for asylum. I just think that it's very interesting. When Mexico sees the pain and feels the pain of what's going on when you have so many people overrunning your system, you don't have enough resources for your own people, I think maybe that they're going to start to get wise and help. I like the fact that they have people at the border helping to protect our border. I think that makes for a good relationship and a good neighbor.
Yeah. One other thing regarding illegal immigrants. I am so concerned about, as we call it, the mainstream media. They really are censoring information, if you will. On Thanksgiving Day, a sixth grade teacher down, I think it was in El Paso, was hit by a hit and run. She was in a crosswalk, and the guy, you know, did a hit and run, but they eventually caught him. Turns out he's an illegal immigrant, and he was out on bond for a prior assault charge, and now this sixth grade teacher is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is as I Google it, I'm not finding anything from any of the mainstream media on this. I see a story by the Daily Mail and one by the Federalist Papers, but that is it. And where the heck is CBS and NBC? And I don't even see anything from Fox here. What is going on?
You won't see it. It's in total conflict with what's going on in Tijuana. So you're not going to see something like that.
The truth will set you free. So you've got to listen to the AmeriChick show because we're searching for this stuff and we're going to let you know. And what we want you to do is please read it yourself first. Don't just, you know, trust but verify. And then share it with your friends. Did you know? Once a day, post something on social media or InstaChat, whatever it is that you're using to communicate with your friends and your family and your sphere of influence. Did you know an illegal or undocumented alien, however you say it, however you need to say it, just killed a sixth grade teacher? Okay.
And just think of the effect that's going to have on all those little sixth grade kids.
Oh, man. We're destroying the innocence.
Yep,
we've
got
to protect our kids before we can protect your kids.
Right.
Okay?
And if we don't protect our kids, then there's no way we can protect those kids outside of America.
Why would you even want to come here? If we weren't protecting our kids, why would you think we could protect yours? Why would a mother take this long trek from Honduras or anywhere else to come to America for a better life for her kids if we weren't protecting our own kids? That's why it's not in the mainstream media, because why would anybody come here?
Right.
Why would anybody risk their lives? All right. Well, let's move to something more positive. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. You always have nuggets, good nuggets on what's going on in the market for us. What's going on today, Jason?
Well, it looks like today the markets are going to recover a little bit. They have been getting beat up some recently, and Kim had mentioned maybe talk about a few things you could do to get prepared for the end of the year. Well, with the markets down, one thing you could do is, sell off a couple of your holdings that are down and maybe offset some gains you may have had earlier in the year. Don't forget you can only offset, though, Molly, about $3,000 worth of losses against ordinary income. The rest of it has to be capital gains against capital losses.
So, Jason, is that one of the things you could help people with by taking a look at where they are on their portfolio right now, because the market has been just so wild lately, and prepare for the end of the year and then strategize going forward into 2019?
Well, yeah, that's exactly what we do at Presidential Wealth Management, and folks can talk to me or any of our fine men and women that we have working there. Of course, it's one of the things we do is look kind of at the end of the year, see where you're at. Sometimes there could be other opportunities close to the end of the year. Maybe we can talk about those a little bit more tomorrow. What do you think?
That sounds good. I like volatility in the market because I like the opportunity to actually buy low. And so sometimes when fear causes some stocks to go down, that's a great buying opportunity, and I want to get in. So
well,
I like having somebody like Jason to talk to.
But, you know, but Jason, it's so funny. People, when the market is down, which is the time to buy, and you look for good stocks that have been knocked around,
people are
afraid to do that. They wait and try to do it at the very top.
That's why you need somebody like Jason McBride, somebody that's been through this, somebody who's seen the fluctuations in the market, who can actually have a level head and kind of look at your portfolio for you.
So
everybody wants to be a value investor. Until the opportunity actually presents itself.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds great in theory.
That's for sure. So, hey, if you'd like to have Jason take a look at your portfolio, give him a call at 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, or check out chickspresidential.com. Can't wait to hear what you have to say tomorrow morning. Have a great day, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. We're going to get a break. When we come back, we've got a good guy, Ray Martinez. I say good guy because he is the sole city councilman in Fort Collins who voted against the third rate hike this year on energy. And so that's good because we like people who vote for our wallets. So stick with the AmeriChicks. KLZ will be right back with Ray Martinez.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine recently celebrated 30 years with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, know Karen Levine personally and cannot recommend her highly enough. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. 303-877-7516.
Happy Monday. We're the AmeriChicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I'm Kim Munson.
Dissecting issues is right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Keeping our eyes on the process is very, very important because, we elect people that we trust to go out there, and we think that they're going to do the right thing. They're going to protect our wallets, our freedoms, our kids, our communities. But you can't just do that and let go. You got to pay attention. You know, we start at the local level. Kim, you were a city councilwoman in Lone Tree. You saw a lot of different ridiculous, crazy things, and you stood a lot of time as a sole vote for freedom. Thank you. Okay. And Ray Martinez has done the same recently, and we invited him to join us. Hey, Ray, welcome to the Ameritech Show. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. I love the title and your principle of what your show is. It's not about right or left, but it's about right or wrong.
Correct. And we want to protect the people. We want to protect all of us. And so you were the sole vote against the latest of three energy increases and rate increases in Fort Collins. Let's talk about, do you mind, before we get to the latest, which was just announced, the 5% increase, do you mind kind of walking us through the first two as well and let us know what those look like so we can build up here?
Well, the way it all started is what we call the tier rating. And that is the energy used by how many wattage kilowatts you use a month, you would get charged accordingly. So if you reached over, I think it's 700 kilowatts, then you go up to the next tier rate, which they add another, you know, I think $8 or $10 a month to your utility bill. And then you get to another rate, which, you know, most people violate that first tier. They usually get over that 700 kilowatts pretty easily. But it just keeps exhuming up and up. So you get tier one, tier two, tier three. Well, that's been in place for a little while now. And then they came up with the idea, and I want to clarify, because this isn't city staff's or the utility department's fault. This is the one that the council came up with this. And this is what we call the time of use rate. So if you're using it during peak time, your cost triples the rate. And that peak time during the summer times from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock at night, which is prime time when people have to use air conditioning.
Or
and
heat.
The other peak rate, then the winter time for heat, The prime time and the peak rate goes from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So it's kind of a catch-22. It doesn't matter. They're catching you at the peak time when most energy is being used. Now, in all fairness to the city, it does cost us more. Platte River Power Authority is our where we purchase our energy from. They charge us for peak time. So, in essence, what the city is saying, this is a pass-through, that we're just kind of passing off what it's really costing us. So, otherwise, they've said we've maintained just a flat rate 24/7. So what happened, they said that if we did this, that the city recommended, the staff and utilities department recommended that we do one or the other, do the tier rate or the time of use, but not to do both. And council passed it to do both. So it was totally against our experts' recommendations.
Now you
got that third one. The third leg is that 5% increase that council just recently passed, and that starts in January. So on top of all the tier rate, time of use, you get another 5% thrown on top of that.
So, Councilman Martinez, is this just for residential, or how does it work for businesses?
It affects business to a certain level, but it's harder on residential.
Okay,
much harder on residential. And those people, what I call people, we always like to use that term fixed incomes. It's not a fixed income. It's what we call a broken income.
Well, I was looking at the Coloradoan report on this, and it says that there was a resident, Cookie Cloninger, and she owns an all-electric home, and she said she spent the first month under that rate structure bundled up in winter coat and mittens, her thermostat set to the low 60s. Her bill still went up by more than double the city estimated increase, going from $66 to $74. And she says, Fort Collins, the choice city, has already become the city of no choice for those of us with electric homes. And I guess her testimony was very emotional. But this is the next thing that really, really is frustrating, is city council then directed staff to talk to her to find out if she fit into one of the city's mitigation programs, such as assistance for low-income residents. So you see city councils doing things to raise prices for the basic services that people need and want. And then if they're having trouble paying that, then you see these same city officials try to put people onto government assistance. And, you know, there's something, I think, really wrong about putting people onto public assistance. What's your comments about Cookie Cloninger?
Well, I think public assistance does help those who are on this broken income. I'd rather see some of that than none of that. But the better thing to do is not raise them in the first place.
Right.
Because I think we can do without it. I have personally asked staff and other people, so look, if we didn't raise it, would our service level change? Would all of a sudden we'd have to shut down things and we'd have rolling blackouts and things of that nature? How much would our service really change? And they said, well, we'd make it work. It wouldn't change. Well, okay, so then why are you increasing it? That's my question. Mm-hmm. If you don't think it'll change, the service level won't change, why are you increasing it? And part of that, you got to understand that 5% increase, they're saying 1.5% is what's called a pass-through from Platte River because they've raised their rates. About 3% of that, just roughly, is maybe 3.5%, is going to help build fund to do replacement and repair of our utility pipelines, which they are getting old. Some needs replacement. But some of that can be used with reserve money. I'm not saying that's the only time you use it, but reserves are for that purpose. All I'm saying is give it a break. Every year we raise it up. Every year we keep saying, oh, it's just another dollar two a month. Well, people on broken incomes, a dollar two a month makes a world of difference whether they buy prescription or cat food for their next meal.
Well, and as I looked at the budget, which was 543 pages long, it looked to me like it's 5% this year, and then 5% for 2019 and 5% for 2020. So that's really going to be a 10% increase. And of course, that 5% in 2020 is actually on the higher rate after this new rate increase is in there. So I mean, I don't see how people on councils can think that they are really helping people when they're doing this. What was the conversations like on the dais as you guys were debating this?
Well, I was the sole guy. And when I started talking about people on broken income, and, you know, Kristen Stevens, you know, said, well, I agree, but I think this will help people who are on low income levels or who have broken incomes then. And I'm not seeing how that helps, at least yet. I mean, when we look at billing cycles from the previous month to this month, for example, I think a lot of people say, well, mine went down, but we're not really comparing apples to apples because are you comparing a year ago, not just last month? There's a difference in temperature changes and things were different last year compared to this year. It's so complex and so convoluted as to how you actually figure out the actual cost, whether it went up on you or went down, that everyone has a different interpretation of what happened on it. So this is not a clear cookie cutter of how the rates are working. So you can interpret that cost either way, whether you like the plan or you don't. So it's got a lot of wiggle room to misinterpretation or to, go figure. And well, some people do.
Councilman Martinez, though, I mean, I understand, again, government, they make things. It's like, look behind over here. Don't look at what really is happening. But if you look at the budget, it says right there that there's going to be a 5% increase in electricity rates in 2019 and 5% in 2020. Now, maybe they go through and they pick out winners and losers, and this guy has to pay this amount and this guy has to, but it's right there in black and white from what I can see that there's going to be a 10% increase in electricity rates in Fort Collins.
Well, you're absolutely right. And if 1.5% is a pass-through through Platte River Power Authority, Is that a pass-through for just this year, or is it for both years?
Uh-huh.
And are they increasing that much for 2 years in a row or not? And I don't get that impression. I get the impression that this is a one-time thing, that they're doing a pass-through, because Platte River doesn't raise their rates that frequently. But when they do, you know, it really 1.5% is minor compared to over the years, and many years, Platte River has not raised their rates at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if Platte River can do it for many years without raising the rates, why is it that we can't? So,
well,
I mean, they have to make investments too. They have to upgrade their things just as well. And then why aren't we at the negotiating table negotiating with Platte River? We are part owners of Platte River. We're the biggest part. It's us, Loveland, Estes Park, you know, we're in Longmont. We're all owners of Platte River Power Authority. Well, if we're owners, we should be able to sit at the table and negotiate. I'm a strong believer. If you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. And I think we got put on the menu on this deal.
So is nobody, you said that you're part owners, none of either the other owners, none of the other communities are at the table as well with Platte River?
Well, I don't know if the other communities are just accepting it and taking the pass through or not. Maybe they are. I just know we haven't. I just know that we're just taking it. I haven't heard about the hard negotiation about, you know, what should it be. If they're doing that, then I'm not exposed to it for some reason, and maybe that's just ignorance on my part.
Well, I think we definitely want to come up with some solutions, and I think you had some other solutions when we spoke yesterday, Councilman Martinez. So when we go to break, when we come back, let's talk about some more solutions. But I just want to go back to this. If you just tuned in, we're talking with Ray Martinez, Fort Collins councilman, and there's a third increase taking place in energy rates in Fort Collins, and this is a 5% increase. It's going to take place starting in 2019, but it's also going to take place in 2020 as well. You know, and there are folks there that say that they're going to need help. They're on fixed income, and the city council said, well, we will help them with subsidies. And what I want to know is, A, where are the subsidies going to come from? Where's that money going to come from? Is that going to require another increase in some sort of a tax or a fee somewhere else? And that means everybody else is going to hurt more. And rather than continuing to create a more expensive problem that the government continues to have to figure out a way to solve, why not lower the rates for everybody so that they're only funding exactly what they need and nothing more, so they don't need subsidies? You don't need subsidies if you don't make it too expensive for everybody, right?
Good point, Molly.
Right. Well, we need to go to break. Please stick with us, City Councilman Martinez. Before we go to break, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Act 2 reforms. You know, we talk about solutions, and that's what we're going to talk about when we get back from this break. Act2blueprint.org has solutions for reining in federal government, draining the swamp, if you will. 5 ideas for change, and they're nonpartisan, and it doesn't matter if it's Republicans or Democrats in power. They just want to make sure that we have a transparent government, an accountable, transparent, fair government, exactly what our founding fathers thought about. So they're a part of the Article 5 Convention of States movements. They've got 5 ideas for change. Check out act2blueprint.org or Act 2 Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. Stick with the AmeriChicks KLZ. We'll be right back.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, recommend Predovich & Company as your financial business consultants. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for next year's tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated 3 times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com. your complete source for Colorado news.
Hey, welcome back to the Marriage Chicks with Molly Vogt and Kim Munson, where we dissect issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure to check out our website, marriagechicks.com. That's where we are on Facebook and Twitter as well. Before we get back with Councilman Ray Martinez from Fort Collins regarding the 10% rate hike in electricity over the next 2 years, I want to give a shout out to Evan, your IT guy. I tell you what, I love them. I needed them this last week, but preparation is the key to success, Molly. And so if you want a successful small business, prepare for your IT needs by signing up at evanyouritguy.com. Evan, your IT guy, is instant, reliable, and secure. They can help assist you with website, laptop issues, accounting software, network, and all of those other important needs. It doesn't cost anything to sign up. So sign up and be ready to roll. You'll be amazed at how easy it is. So check out evanyouritguy.com. And if you mention us, the AmeriChicks, that first consultation is free, and we cannot recommend them enough. They have saved our bacon more than once.
And it's not only IT for individuals, it's IT for businesses as well. So if you're a small business, they're a great, great group to have as your entire IT team, saving you thousands of dollars a month so you don't have to have a whole big staff in office with you. Let's get back to it. So we are on the phone with Councilman Ray Martinez up in Fort Collins. He was the sole no vote on this latest increase in energy prices up there. These guys are really going to be suffering, I think, anyone on a fixed income or you know, struggling with that, because energy prices, man, I mean, they
hurt.
It's a progressive tax. It really hurts the poor. It really hurts mm-hmm. the middle income group, because, I mean, look at what's happening. Ski season opened early, Kim, okay, and Ray Martinez. Ski season opened early in Colorado. It's cold early. I want to have my heat on. I want to make sure that I'm warm and good to go. And not being able to afford to turn the heat on, that's kind of a stressful deal, especially when you know that it could have been avoided. So, Councilman Martinez, what are some solutions? And real quick, if you tuned in, there was a 5% increase just passed.
2019 and then 5% 2020.
And 2020. That's on top of time of use increase and tier rate. But, Councilman Martinez, what are some solutions? Where do you think are some areas that perhaps Fort Collins could get some of their money back that could really help mitigate the increase in energy prices?
Well, for one thing, part of that 5% package, it's about 0.37% goes towards the climate action plan. So maybe that can wait a little bit. Mm. Maybe we don't have to add that on each year. So there's one area you can cut. The other thing is get back to the negotiating table with Platte River Power Authority, and maybe mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be this 1.5% pass-through. Maybe it's really 0.75. Maybe cut that in half. And then maybe the 3% you're asking for future repairs and pipeline repairs and things like that, I think, honestly, that could be cut in half, and then part of that could be dipped into reserves. That's what we have reserves for, if that's what it's needed for. But the utility department, by law, has to have a certain amount of reserves. It's in the millions of dollars that we keep in reserves, over $200 million, I think, collectively. But with that reserves, why not utilize some of that, give people just a little bit of a break, and then let's reevaluate the amount of staff and upper-level people that we have. Do we need that many personnel that we have? There's always a means to cut. It's just a question of do you want to cut? And if we were really in a budget crisis, we'd find ways to cut. There would be no issue with that. That would happen. And we've had them in the past. We've had to have layoffs.
Yeah.
Not that I'm promoting layoffs. I'm just saying that when we know we got to cut, we got to cut. And we managed to find out how to do it and still balance the budget. So. Yeah. This, to me, is not something that is we're not trying to fix something that's broke. I know we're trying to be predictable as to, you know, here's some anticipated repairs. Okay, we can still do that, but I think we can do it by other means and in other ways. You know, the utility department, the water department are separate enterprises in themselves, so we can't use general fund to support them. We can't use their money to support us in the general budget either because of that. We're just separate entities in that sense. And the same thing that we just recently done with broadband, Who knows what broadband's going to do and what those costs may raise, but right now it seems like it's going to work okay. But here's another thing I'm worried about. It's not just this, the utility, but our water rate. Now we've gone to tier water rates.
Wow.
Now, are we going to go... Now, are we going to go to time of use on water rates as well? And we also increased in the budget this year for 2019-20 to increase the water rates by 2%. So it's not just 5%. It's collectively 7% that you're increasing utility rates. So it's a constant movement upward. And we got the best flood mitigation, drainage, sewage system, I think, around the United States. There's no question about it. And I appreciate that. And I think we need it. We also have our utilities that 99% of our utilities are underground. So when we have snowstorms and stuff, we don't have the power outages like you see back east that don't have any electricity for weeks. We don't have that issue. That's a non-issue. That's something that council decided to invest in back in the 70s, if I remember right. So we're 99.8% actually of our utilities underground. Great. I think that's great. And we needed that. That's a wise investment. So that continues on, and we'll get that finished. I don't know how many more years we need to finish that project, but we're almost there. And those are good things. So that's a positive thing what our enterprise of the utility department is doing. So I'm not knocking that, but what I'm saying is that if we have figured out how to reserve and save and collect millions of dollars over time to fix these products and to add on to them and to replace them, why all of a sudden now it's almost painted like it's going to be a crisis, you know?
Councilman...
And yet the council went totally against what staff recommended.
Wow.
Staff said do one or the other. They said do tier rating or time of use, but do not do both.
Hmm.
But they went totally against that. So there's one solution. Pay attention to what staffs tell you.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned broadband, and that was something when I was on city council. I saw when you went down to, when I went down to Colorado Municipal League, there was a real movement. There was an attorney that was really his baby, kind of a far left guy that was really pushing this municipal broadband. And it was a head scratcher to me that why would municipalities get into a business that was actually being that private enterprise was already providing a product for, and then it was sold that and I don't disagree, sometimes some of the big providers on broadband, their customer service, certainly they needed to improve that. But the however is getting into the broadband business when private enterprise was taking care of that, it was sold as it would be more efficient and it would be cheaper. But my concern is looking down the road, is that first of all, if you get cities involved in the broadband business, they then would have the power to squelch any kind of competitors that would be coming into the market to provide lower prices or better service. But ultimately, if they are able to squelch private enterprise and then have a municipal broadband service, then you could start to see rate increases in broadband, just like you're seeing in water and electricity, Molly.
My wallet hurts. What do you think, Ray?
Well, yeah, I think like any other enterprise that we have, the rates always go up. You can't tell me that broadband's going to be different, that it's going to freeze right there and never change. We've already used the term, we'll be competitive, which means if Comcast goes up to $200 a month, then we'll be competitive. Ours might be $190 a month. You know, I mean, but right now we're promoting, you know, maybe $60, $70 a month. And then if you want a gigabyte, then this rate. All those rates are very flexible. When they use the word competitive, means that we're subject to flexibility of raising those rates to make a little bit more money. Now, according to, you know, the law says that we cannot make a, quote, profit on our enterprises. But we can charge up to what the actual cost is. Well, we could do anticipated costs. We could say, you know, we need this many more personnel. So in order to do that, we're going to raise the rates. Or we want this other fiber optic type of line that we want to do. We want to get a new boring machine or whatever equipment that we want that maybe we really didn't need, but gosh, right. It sure looks nice and we like it. It works great. You know, so that just adds to that broad perspective. Now, I'm not saying we're spendaholics, and I'm not saying staff isn't using good wisdom and how to spend that money, but you can see how that can get carried away and how you can justify spending more and say, look, in the long run, this may save us money if we do X, Y, Z. It's the same arguments that we have about climate action plan. Well, we'll protect people 100 years from now.
Hey, Councilman Martinez, thank you so much. Unfortunately, we've
got to have you back on.
We're going to have to get you back on. We want to keep up with what do the rates look like for folks once they get through this winter time after these three increases on their rates. Thank you for keeping your eyes on the process and being a voice for the people. We're going to have you back on. Bless you. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Right. Okay. Alexis de Tocqueville, very apropos. The American Republic will endure until the day Congress, city councils, whoever, discovers that it can bribe the public with the public's money. Mm. Alexis de Tocqueville.
Yep, smart man. Hey, we're the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim. Happy Monday, everybody. We are dissecting issues as right versus wrong, as to right versus left. Join us again tomorrow. Check out our website, AmeriChicks.com. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.